Bicycle.
I want to ride my Brian Noonan in for Justin Kaufman on 720 WGN. Yes, if you don't have your own bicycle, maybe you've been in the city and been tempted to jump on one of those blue Divvy bikes that over the past few years have been multiplying like rabbits all over the city. But you may be a little, you may not be sure. Oh, how do I do this? What's going on? Where should I ride it? I've heard so many things. Well, let's get the lowdown on Divvy. Adam Lukacs writes for the Tribune and the Red Eye, and he is here. He's been covering the Divvy phenomenon. Welcome. Thanks for coming in, Adam. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
Your mom and dad are listening. We know this is very exciting. I tease because I would do the same thing. Adam and I talked today. He said, hey, what time is this going to air? You thought we were going to tape it? And so, yeah, you had to get a hold of your mom and dad.
I did. They're very disappointed when I let them know about these things after the fact.
Yes,
so,
as most parents are.
Absolutely.
So you live in the city. Have you availed yourself of Divvy?
I have used it on occasion. I am not an annual member, which is one of the options, but I have used it on occasion, the $10 sort of 24-hour pass when I know that I'm going to be out and about and nowhere that will be too taxing to get anywhere by bike, you know.
Now, we'll get into the different things because it's a little confusing. I hear what you said, $10 for 24 hours. I'm like, oh, that may not be the case. But for the uninitiated, when did Divvy come into the city and how has it evolved to now?
So it launched, if I recall correctly, in 2012 or 2013. And it, like you said, has multiplied and become bigger as people have started to use it. But, you know, they have similar rideshare programs, or excuse me, they're called bike share programs with the bikes in other cities. And it's basically a way to avoid paying up for an Uber or a taxi cab or what have you. Or if you're just an active person who likes to explore the city and get a little exercise while you're doing it. And there are two options, as you mentioned, for renting. One is a 24-hour pass that includes unlimited rides that are 30 minutes or less.
That's the catch, because that's the thing with Divvy. You can only ride for 30 minutes or you're paying penalties.
Yes.
Right? So then why buy a 24-hour pass? I guess it's cheaper to have unlimited rides for a day.
Essentially, yeah. I mean, what you look at about four CTA rides there and back is about $10 or whatever. Okay. And so they design it to be essentially a commuter biking system, you know, is the way they describe it on the website. And that's why the rides are limited to 30 minutes or less. Now, obviously, a way to hack that system is sort of to just keep stopping off at different Divvy stations, checking out a new one if it's there, and you know, continuing on. But there, like as you mentioned, there are penalties for going over that 30-minute time limit. So it's an interesting idea that seems to have taken off. You know,
well, the city has embraced it. It started off, there were 750 bikes at 75 stations. Now there are an estimated 620 stations. By the end of the year, they're saying 620 stations with 6,200 bikes. That's part of a huge expansion that they're planning, but they're being a little sketchy with the details of where the new stations will be, right?
They have not. They did not elaborate to me in an email about where the new stations would be coming for sure. But they did confirm that it would be coming this year. And for the purposes of the article, I did double check with them to make sure that anything I mentioned is open for the foreseeable future and going to continue to stay around. So they certainly don't have any plans on cutting back on the existing stations, only adding more, it seems like.
And I remember when you probably do too since you've been covering them, when Divvy was coming here, there were people who were angry that there were going to be Divvy stations near their house. And I never understood that because bikes are very quiet, but people are like, well, if I pay a lot to live in a certain neighborhood, I don't want people just, you know, randomly bringing bikes to my in front of my building. Has that kind of thing died down? It seems like you see the Divvy bikes everywhere, so people must have just, you know, hey, now it's part of the city.
Absolutely. I mean, we hear all the time, right, about different things that especially neighborhood-specific residents are bringing up that are bothering them or whatever.
Ambulance sirens.
Yeah, jerks. I was about to mention maybe the ambulance sirens. But, you know, with the Divvy bikes, I think, like you said, it's very quiet. And there's usually, at neighborhood stations, there's usually no more than a dozen bikes at those stations. You know, at some of the larger ones down by, you know, Shed and Soldier Field and that, they'll have 25, even as up to 30 bikes, I believe, at some of the larger stations. But in the neighborhoods, there's a limited selection, so there's not a ton of people congregating around the stations, if you will.
And loitering. It's not like a bus station.
No, absolutely not. You check in your divvy, or you check it out, you scan your card, and you know, the whole point is that you're getting and going. So it doesn't seem like it's been a huge distraction for people or a noisemaker, really.
Let me ask this, because and going back to what you were talking about earlier, how the rides are designed as commuter rides for 30 minutes. And you mentioned, well, you can take your bike back if you want to extend it. Take your bike back. Can you check out the same bike, or do you have to lock that bike in and take another one? Because, see, this is where I get confused. I'm like, well, if I want to go riding along the lake, you know, and maybe I'm feeling energetic that day. I'm a tourist. I've come into town. I want to get one of these bikes, ride along the beautiful path along the lake. I'd probably be out for more than 30 minutes. But if I get to a station and I want to take another ride, but there's no bike, am I screwed?
No, you should be able to check back in your bike and essentially you restart a whole new session for yourself because you've bought the pass. You don't pay per ride, right? You pay per time period. So if you essentially hit the reset button, check in your divvy, you know, even basically go to the kiosk, act like you're rechecking out, restarting a new session, you could check out the same divvy that you were just on.
This is something that's always bothered me about Divvy. And we're going to get in because you did, for people who have never used it, you put together some great short routes that people can try. But this is what bothered me. A lot of my friends ride their bikes in the city, which I, quite frankly, would be terrified to do. But they're all responsible cyclists. They're wearing helmets and they're paying attention. I've noticed with Divvy, because it is set up to be just a quick commuter thing, you've got a lot of people riding without helmets, a lot of people who it seems maybe haven't ridden a bike in a while, but now they've gotten out of Divvy because they don't want to, you know, they can't wait for the bus. Has there been a lot of problem with accidents or injuries? We don't hear about, you hear every once in a while there was somebody killed by a bus last year, but you don't hear too much. Is that because it's not happening, or you know, there's a big cover-up, big Divvy cover-up.
I don't know about any cover-up, but, you know, from what I've heard, I have not read in the news or heard from even any anecdotal evidence about people who have had issues with actual, you know, Divvy accidents. Right. I think part of that kind of speaks to what you were just talking about, people's uncertainty, right? They do get on a bike, and it is a little scary, especially depending on where you're at in the city, right? So I think with Divvy riders, there's a tendency to be more hesitant and a little bit more careful than with some of the other bikers who, you know, have that confidence that they're on the roads daily. You know,
too much confidence in some cases.
You know, it's just like drivers, right? Yes. It's the guys who are, you know, you're like, what are you doing out there, buddy?
Right.
But, you know, with the Divvies, other than my own personal anecdotal evidence, when, you know, trying to get around sometimes and you're like, what the heck are you doing, guy?
Right.
You know, somebody's in, even as a pedestrian sometimes, but I have not read or heard from even any of my avid friends who are Divvy users or anything like that about accidents with Divvy customers specifically.
They're saying that, and you pointed this out, there were some new studies that came out about Divvy riders, what they're using their bikes for throughout the country. And it is basically short commutes to and from work. So people are getting, you know, they're either coming out of their building and getting on one or getting off a bus and riding a short way. How have they decided, or how have they been laying out the stops? Because there's areas where I see a lot, and then there's some areas where you don't see too many, and you would think, well, there seem to be a lot of bicyclists around here, but why aren't there any Divvy spots here?
Yeah, it's definitely been mostly landmark specific, right? As I kind of mentioned earlier, you know, even out like by the Northerly Island peninsula sort of out there, there's one for Shedd, there's one for Soldier Field, there's one for each of the Adler, you know, there's one for each of those individual landmarks. And then they usually try to pick intersections that I think have the space to accommodate the stations. So for instance, you know, there's one by the Picasso statue, because that's a huge, you know, the Ryan Center has those huge sort of, not courtyards, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, the open
large
areas.
Large areas outside of the buildings. Another thing that's been an indicator is near the trails, right? So along the lakefront trail, they try to stack a lot of them. The 606, there are going to be more Divvies coming there. They mentioned the west side of the city as a place, you know.
That
would
make
sense. And they
actually
featured the 606 on their website as, you know, here's the routes in Chicago that are easy for bikers to do. So they mentioned the Lakefront Trail and the 606 specifically. But as you mentioned, it is a little bit interesting. Once you get out of the Wicker Park area and start getting into more of the northwest side, I ran into that issue with the north – oh, I can't remember – just north of Ravenswood Manor. There's a trail that I mentioned in the article that the name is escaping me right now, unfortunately. But that route I actually ran into some issues with because of the placement of the stations that were primarily close to the neighborhoods or more of the populated areas of those places, and it wasn't right by the parks or whatever. Mm. You know what I mean? So you actually had to get off the trail and go two or three blocks to get to, a more populated area of the neighborhood.
All right. Adam Lukacs is here. He writes for The Trib and The Red Eye, and we're going to discuss some, Adam's put together some great little trail routes, some little routes that you can take if you've thought, well, I want to try Divvy, but I'm not sure where I'm going to go. We'll go through some of those routes. If you have any questions, 312-981-7200. More with Adam on the other side. It's WGN. We're talking Divvy on WGN. It's Brian Noonan in for Justin tonight. Adam Lukacs is here. He writes for the Tribune and the Red Eye. And so you put together, I saw this the other day, because while I would never ride on the streets of the city, I wouldn't mind riding along the lake or doing some of the other. So you put together some really cool things if you wanted to try Divvy, some short within the 30 minute time limit, some short little routes, little trails if you want to jump in. So let's start with the North Lakefront Trail route. Well, what is that one?
The North Lakefront Trail route we should start by saying the North Lakefront Trail is probably the most populated route on this.
Okay.
I do have an exception for the loop, but in terms of the trail routes I offer on here, you know, the North Lakefront Trail is practically everyone in the city out there on a nice day or whatever.
And that's another concern, not only for people riding Divvy, but any cyclist, jogger, walker, rollerblader, anybody who's out there.
Absolutely. If you're looking for a relaxing ride that you're not going to have to dodge a lot of people,
this
is not the one to go for, right?
All right.
But if you're looking for a social time and you're looking to kind of cruise and see a lot of people and see, you know, as I mentioned, it goes past, you know, Lincoln Park Zoo, North Ave Beach, some of the more popular areas of the city, even Lincoln Park itself, more popular areas of the city. So it's a great sightseeing route. I mean, not that they aren't all, but
yeah. All right. So, but that one, you've got to be extra cognizant of people wandering in and out and other cyclists.
Absolutely. So basically, you know, the suggestion is pick up a Divvy at a couple stations, Lakeshore Drive and North Boulevard or Wells Street in Concord. And then just to head up the Lakefront Trail you can either go to North Ave Beach, or I suggest going all the way up to Margate Park Fieldhouse, just north of it's a landmark that is kind of obscure, right? But there's a Divvy station near there. Absolutely. It's just north of Montrose Dog Beach.
Okay.
And it actually has a little area where you can kind of walk around. You know, it's just a green area up there that's kind of in between the beaches. And unfortunately, as you kind of were mentioning, with the time constraints here, I kind of had to suggest places for people. I wanted to get them a decent ride in that weren't all just 5-minute spurts, right? So this one I tried to get a little bit longer, taking someone to a place they might not be familiar with, but at the same time, they're getting a good workout and still going to kind of a green area of the city.
And this one you estimate a little over 20 minutes, like 23 minutes.
That's good. Well, that was Google Maps. Okay. I pulled that and I made sure that it was bike and following the lakefront trail. And I guess that depends on the number of people on any given day. But no, it shouldn't be.
You should be able to make your 30.
Under the 30 minutes. Exactly.
Just for reference, if I'm a couple minutes, do they charge it? Is it by the minute? So if I'm 31 minutes, is it something, or is it all right? 30 to 35 minutes, it's one penalty. 35 to 40 minutes, it's another penalty.
Yeah, there's thresholds there. There's 10-minute thresholds.
Oh,
and if you're
okay,
even 1 minute over the 30, the idea is, actually, there's a little bit of a hack, if I can kind of squeeze this in there.
Yes, please do.
If you're just under the 30 minutes, even at 28 or 29, you can actually get to, and I've actually never tried on my own, so I don't know if it requires the computers to recognize the station as full or not. But if you get to a station and there's a it's fully stocked, nowhere for you to replace your bike, you can request a 15-minute waiver for basically allowing you to find the nearest Divvy station, right? And like I said, I've never had to use that, fortunately, so I don't know if it requires it to actually be full. But, you know, in theory, you could maybe potentially request that waiver if there wasn't full. But ideally, you would just get there in about 25 minutes, you know what I mean, and check in your thing. But
there's always ways to jog the system,
to
job the system.
But I have heard anecdotes, especially even on the Facebook pages, about people, businessmen coming in, and they wind up spending $400 on a Divvy for the
day. God.
Because they don't see the fine print about,
And they just keep it because they paid for the 24-hour pass.
They figured, and they thought, I'm just going to ride.
Right.
So,
oh, boy.
Sorry, go ahead with
so the... No. So this was the most congested trail, the North yes. Lakefront. What is, let's go to the opposite end of the spectrum. If I want nobody around or the fewest people around because I'm, you know, I'm new on my bike.
Absolutely. So that would be basically one of two, either the flip side of the lakefront route, which is the South Lakefront Trail, or the North Shore Channel route, which we mentioned in the last segment. That's right. Just north of Ravenswood Manor.
Okay.
And that's a little bit more
That was the one you said you had trouble finding the station, though,
yes,
right?
Yes, the less populated stations out there. So if you choose that one, you're definitely going to have to do some riding a couple blocks off the trail to get there. And actually up near Lincoln Ave on that trail, if you want to go, depending on how far north you go, you'll actually have to walk your bike across the bridge on Lincoln Ave. It's one thing the city's working on right now is creating an underpass there.
Okay.
But even if you're a walker or a runner, they have to run. There's about a quarter mile where they just have to run along like an overpass, basically.
Okay.
But that's only if I didn't suggest that you go that far north.
Right.
Thankfully, I stopped before that.
Okay.
But that's a great one that you can find some good restaurants that you might not have been to up there. If you go Devon Avenue or even a little bit south of there, it's also a great. There's River Park is on the east side of the path.
Okay.
It's kind of just north of Ravenswood Manor. There's a long stretch of green up there that has a couple smaller parks in it. But
cool.
River Park's a good one if you want to get about a 15-minute ride in or something like that. The South Lakefront Trail route, I suggested taking to Promontory Point, which is one of my favorite, I think really underrated landmarks in the city.
Yeah.
There's public restrooms there also.
That's handy.
That's a big one, right? And you can kind of get out there on a little bit of a peninsula-like area. You see some incredible views of the city skyline that you don't normally get to see from the south side like that.
Yeah.
And then also get to enjoy the lakefront. You're right out there, kind of, like I said, peninsula, so it feels like you're kind of out on
very
the water
cool.
but not actually and like you said, it's not very congested at all. You'll be able to hop right on at I believe I've suggested Burnham
yep.
Harbor and go right down in about 20 minutes.
And then the 606 you have down there, and then you had a couple of the loop route, but you broke that up into two routes.
I did. You know, tackling the loop can be
daunting,
absolutely. It's not something that I personally...
you will never see me on this route, Adam. I guarantee it. If you ever see me divvying in the loop, you know something is horribly wrong.
I'll make sure I stop
yes,
you.
Yes, there'll be some sort of catastrophe is following.
But yeah, outside of the context of this article, I don't know that I'll... But I made sure when I did this that I chose only streets that had either totally separated bike routes in the loop, or at least marked, you know, bike
that
routes.
Makes sense.
You won't be trying to forge it on Michigan Avenue on this route.
You know what I mean? Well, if you want to see these, see all these routes and read Adam's work, you can go to tribune.com/redeye. Look up the Explore Chicago by Divvy with these customized bike-friendly routes. Adam Lukacz, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it. It was very interesting stuff.
Thanks
Good
so much
to have
for
you. Hopefully
me,
we'll talk again.
Absolutely.
And now your mom and dad are happy.
They should be.